God is the potter, and we are the clay. Behold, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so are we in the hand of God. This is Potter's Apostolic Ministries, Kaduna, bringing God's word with power through the prophetic teaching and preaching of Reverend Ezekiel Joseph Kumi. As you listen, be empowered.
It seems the discipleship model that Jesus sustained was a bit different from the perspective found in the ministry of John the Baptist. On the strength of that, a recommendation was made: teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples. It means prior to this time, there was no intentional activity to disciple people along the line of prayer. Right? Nothing intentional along that line was done until this recommendation came. And I began to wonder, why is it that Jesus did not begin to entrench the culture of prayer initially in his discipleship work? Hallelujah. Then I realized that Jesus is not willing to invest the revelations on this subject to people that are not desirous. You have to have a fundamental desire to begin to adventure in the spirit through prayer before education on the subject to become profitable. A lot of prayer education has been passed on to people that do not even desire to practice prayer at all. And so most of these insights fell on lives where it could not germinate, because no matter how powerful the education we are going to be getting this weekend is, it is when you put it to work that you understand its practicalities. You know that experience has more authority than learning. And when you try to implement several things that you have gotten cerebrally, you might just find out that in the implementation, there are several protocols that you might find in the practice that is not part of the capacity building. And so each and every one of us is going to have a personal experience as you begin to engage God. However, we just want to look at the basics for this weekend. Teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples. There seemed to be some form of devotion as regards the subject of prayer among the disciples of John. And that kind of devotion is not found here. And so they used John as a reference point to the kind of education that they wanted. Meanwhile, what Jesus gave them was not what John gave them. Meanwhile, but John's discipleship on the subject motivated them to place a request, place a demand. Are you with me? Now, Jesus began on the strength of the request. This was how he began. And there were very various foreign things that Jesus incorporated in the prayer education that is not consistent with the Old Testament pattern. In view of this statement I made, I would like us to break this introductory scripture into three parts. The first thing that Jesus wanted us to understand in the prosecution of the art of prayer was that every prayer prosecution, every prayer adventure was tied to the revelation of God as Father. That's the first thing we see here. Meanwhile, in the Old Testament, it would have been tantamount to sacrilege for you to call God your Father. Now, we did not have the privilege to see the Bible study model or the prayer pattern of discipleship that John sustained. But obviously, what Jesus was educating his people with here was somewhat foreign. He began to address God as Father, and that all prayer adventure was predicated on that operating system. Now we'll explain what I mean by that. Second thing we see in that scripture is that the place where God is domiciled will determine the way he responds to your prayer engagement. It is not our Father who art in Boko, but our Father who art in heaven. Now, we are going to see the implication of how God's frame of reference will affect your engagement. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then thirdly, Jesus makes a great statement there. He says, hallowed be your name. And it is very easy to conclude that what he was making reference to is a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Now, if you come to that conclusion, it will not be wrong. However, it is deeper than just an attitude of prayer and of praise and of thanksgiving. Because if you are a student of the Bible, you will find out that every revelation of God was trapped in, every manifestation of God in the Old Testament was trapped in a name in order to create a spiritual heritage for the people of God. What I mean by that is this: if God decides to manifest as a healer, they identify such a manifestation with a name, Ralpha. So that, and that is fully articulated and fully enshrined in the archives. Such that if a generation comes where it has seen God is no longer healing, the people can reach back into the archive and say, there was a time that God healed. And they can now ask faith questions. Questions that will lead them back to the pathway from whence they fell. And so every unique manifestation of God was entrapped in a name that retains that manifestation in the heritage of the house of Israel. And if you study the Old Testament, which we may do if we have the opportunity, you will find out that there were 12 revelations in the Old Testament indicative of 12 unique manifestations of God. The last of which is found in the book of Ezekiel. Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is present. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, see, you see, the names of God reveal our heritages in him and the possibilities that we have that are bound in him. On the strength of those possibilities, we can prosecute an adventure. An adventure that exploits those dimensions in him. And so Jesus said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, because of the fact that we have three evenings for the conference, so we'll focus on the first part, our Father. Turn your Bible with me quickly. I think we can begin from the book of Matthew chapter 7 will be a good place for us to start. But let me get my script so that at least I can begin somewhere before the river of inspiration overtakes me. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. That's where we'll start. Please don't forget why we came here. The first reason why we came here is that your prayer enterprise is going to prosper to the extent to which you have a revelation of God as Father. Alright? That's why we came here. And according to the book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 27, the Bible says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and save he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now this scripture reveals that there is only one chapter personality that can bring about a disclosure of the personality of the Father. There's only one chapter personality. There's only one accredited personality that can tell us about the Father. that personality happens to be Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the first thing I'd like us to understand. I know somebody in the crowd is saying something. I heard what you said. Now the person in the crowd just said, "Hey, Pastor, cool down. Me too, I have children. I'm a father in my own right." Now, to help that person that made that comment in his heart, can we do Matthew chapter 7 verse 11 to help that person? Please don't forget, we have established that there is only one personality that can reveal the Father. That's Jesus. So if our prayer enterprise is going to prosper to the extent to which we have captured the revelation of God as Father, and it happens to be that only one personality can reveal the Father. Are you with me? Okay, I need to answer that person. The Bible says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him." In attempting to answer the question upon that person's heart, because the person was saying, "I'm also a father, I have children, and Pastor, don't you think my model of fatherhood will give me an insight into who the Father is, and as such provide a basis for me to understand the Father?" That's what the person said. Meanwhile, the Bible reveals that in comparison to God, please get that statement. I say what? In comparison to God. Yes, everybody sitting here is a father, this way. And I like to believe that I'm a good father. However, in comparison to God, the Bible says that our model of fatherhood is evil. Now, that's no attempt whatsoever to discredit your superlative expression of fatherhood. Your expression of fatherhood is wonderful, but when brought in comparison to God, it is considered evil. Meanwhile, the evil status of your model of fatherhood does not stop you from giving good gifts to your children. It doesn't stop you. So don't think that because you give good gifts to your children, suddenly your model has become good. No. It's still all together in comparison to God. If it's a standalone experiment, it might even make it to the Guinness books. But unfortunately, the comparison in this case is the fatherhood model of God. And in comparison to that model, the Bible says, we are evil. So, your own model of fatherhood, as wonderful as it is, does not sustain the stature to be descriptive of God's dimension of fatherhood. So, can you just, the person that said those things, I know it's a humbling situation. However, he said, "You have been evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more?" That means in a greater fashion. In a fashion that is separate from what you do. Not the fashion in which our Heavenly Father gives good things, but unfortunately we need to ask him first. Asking is required. Prayer engagement is required. It means one of the ways, are you with me? One of the ways that we can actually explore the Father is through prayer. To get an intimate, personal disclosure of the Father. These bounties of his goodness are held up in him, but these bounties may not be revealed until we ask him. And he gives us a guarantee that his model of fatherhood is by no means to be compared with the mundane expression of human fatherhood. So it's something higher than humankind can practice, higher than mankind can approximate or attain to. It's an exclusive frontier that only the Father himself is known by. Are you with me? All right. So having established this, according to the first scripture we read, which is Matthew chapter 11 verse 20, the only way we know the Father is to check the scriptures and find out what Jesus said about his Father. Because Jesus happens to be the only chartered personality that has the stature to reveal the Father. Prayer is a bit deep. But this, what we are trying to establish this weekend is at the basics. There are dynamics in prayer. There's prophetic prayer. There's territorial prayer. The kind of prayer that Moses prayed when he came into Egypt. He was sent there to deliver people. But before he delivered people, he began to deliver the territory. There's a kind of technology that is required to bring ministry to a territory. Many of us know how to cast out devils, people. But we have not yet known how to cast those from territories. Now, Moses was a good example of bringing priesthood into a territory and liberating so that the people can be liberated. Just in case you have an intention to liberate people, there's an evangelical fire burning inside of your spirit, and you are hoping that someday you will see 100,000 under the glory to Jesus. Oh man, you will need to know how to renovate territories in order for you to see that level of release. Because the taskmaster is not about to let his captives go. So you must be brought into those dimensions. We know there's prophetic prayer. In prophetic prayer, we pray by revelation. We pray considering the authority of God. Whereas in the original mode of prayer, prayer is offered from earth to heaven. But in authoritative prayer, we take our status and our place as joint heirs with Christ seated in the heavenlies. And that's where we launch from in authoritative prayer. We pray from heaven to earth. In the authority of our recreated human spirit. Now, so there are various levels of prayer. But what God has put on this weekend are not the complex ones, just the basic ones. I carried out a survey on Facebook and I found that people don't know what prayer is again. You have been busy over the years to teach people territorial prayer. I found out there was a mistake. Emphasis. So I've decided to come back to the basics. In every talk before, I've gone to the basics. People like revelation. They just say they were disappointed. I won't have anything to be in a meeting for again. Save the one that is required for you to prosecute real business with God. Hallelujah. Now, so we need to consult Jesus, the chaptered personality, so that he can disclose to us who his Father is. Every revelation Jesus brings to the table concerning his Father is going to aid our adventure. Are you with me? Alright, so, number one. I have nine of those insights that Jesus gave within the limits of my understanding of Scripture. But tonight we'll look at one. Tomorrow we'll look at another one. So we'll look at three out of nine. Then you study the four. Hallelujah. As you will see, so you now study from there. Can we start this journey from Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6, and what we are trying to unveil are the things that Jesus said about his Father and how he's supposed to affect our prayer adventure. Hallelujah. All right. Jesus said, take heed that you not your arms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Next verse. Therefore when thou doest thine arms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as a hypocrite in the synagogues and on the streets. Hey. Now, you see, there are a few words that Jesus introduced in this scripture. First word is hypocrite. Then he reveals the platforms where the hypocrites operate. Where do they operate? Is it only synagogue? Synagogue and where? In the street. So it means if you find the hypocrites, where do you go? Synagogue. Please, do not forget the platform. You are not with me. you are not here. Now, this is the scripture. We are just following the words of Jesus. Yeah. So I'm going to look at two platforms, but the way I'm seeing you, or some people are shaking already. So I will only mention one platform. That's you out in the congregation. Now, so the two platforms for the hypocrites are the synagogues and the streets. And the objective of the hypocrite is that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But where thou doest alms, let thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Next verse. That thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the first thing we see about our Father here is that he sees in secret. Sees. He didn't say he operates in secret. What? Sees. The point from whence he evaluates things is in secret. The point from whence he considers things is in secret. That's the way he is. That is his orientation. You know, one of those days I had the opportunity to see my children through the pigeonhole, and they were not aware that I was seeing them in secret. And they were trying to put together a proposal to bring a petition. And that was when I discovered that my children were advanced psychologists, because they knew the kind of request I can grant. So they weaved it. I was watching. It was a great sight, a great spectacle. And when they had conjured the request, in keeping with their perception of my personality, they brought it to the table and it failed. The reason why it failed was because I saw them in secret. If I had not seen, that's why your model of fatherhood cannot be like God's own, because you don't see in secret. God sees in secret. On the strength, you are going to see every identity of the Father we unveil. You will see a terminology we evolve that is given to people that are not accurate with respect to that orientation of God. You are not with me. Don't worry. You will get there. Understanding will come to you. And if God helps us, we will now try to apply this to our prayer. Hallelujah. So, first thing that we need to see is that giving from the perspective of God is a when issue, not an if issue. And just in case in your life your giving is an if. He didn't say if you give. He said what? When you give. It means this principle may not apply until you engage giving mode. Then the principles he's trying to unveil here will begin to apply. Now, for the average believer, giving is an if. For the more mature believers, giving is a when. Because they want to ensure that God's business upon the face of the earth keeps going on. So whether they feel bad, they give. Whether they feel excited, they give as a responsibility. Not because they want to receive. So giving is a when from Jesus' perspective. I pray God will help us in the name of Jesus. And then the special kind of giving that God now begins to make emphasis upon in this particular engagement is the giving of alms. Then he gave us some principles. He said, let not your left hand know what your right hand. Be not like the hypocrites. You know, there was a platform that was mentioned in this context. Since you were shaking, I'll just mention only one and leave the other one. The other one is more terrible, but you have not decoded that second one. This hypocrite of prayer in the synagogue. The other day, somebody was telling me about a great man of God in Nigeria. What did this great man of God do? He got some widows in the city. And they came like this. Then he gave them bags of rice, gave them a 1,000 each, and everyone said, "Oh my God. Oh my God." And that's hypocrisy. Because that's not the model of the Bible. If you are giving alms, nobody should know. If you are giving alms to the poor, it's not something for CNN. It's not something for BBC. That's the way of the hypocrites. And it takes place where? Synagogue. Okay, let's... That's... Now, because of the way you reacted, I will not talk of the street. I know most of you have identified that model as a compassionate approach. It reveals the mercy of Jesus. You have not been studying your scripture. Because the God of the Bible is concerned about the emotional comportment of the person that is receiving aid. Now that you have put the woman on CNN receiving aid, are you with me? How do you want her to walk on the street? How do you want people to call her children? They say, okay, that woman, the son of the woman that received rice. She's so poor that the church had to gather money to sustain them. He's the son of that woman. You have demeaned that person in order for you to get glory of men. The emphasis in that kind of orientation, as emotional as the whole environment may look like, is so that men can comment. And in the eyes of Jesus, his father that sees in secret has already judged that model, and he called it the way of the hypocrite. Those kind of people that continue to operate like that perpetually have no relationship with the Father. Because if you know the Father at all, you will know he's a God that sees in secret. If you can consistently be a hypocrite for many years and that becomes your model in ministry, we know that you are not deep. You are a showman. You are there for the stage. And that's why the meat has been a veritable tool. For the hypocrites, the media is a major tool. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people that God has said to them, put this thing for your generation to see. Do you understand? So don't. So if you can sustain that model, maybe because of what many people have seen on TV, they have begun to adopt the model. You bring video people, and then when you want to do something in Sabongari, you bring video and everybody NTA to come and see. Thank God, only after this life will it be known how many people we trained. Only after this life will it be known how many people we picked up from the streets and they grew with our children as if they were home. He said, when these things, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You hear? Now, someone that has a model of life that is given to hypocrisy cannot stand before the God that sees in secret and strike a chord. No. You can't strike a chord there. Because the model of the Father is that he rewards openly because he sees in secret. So he is irritated by hypocrites because the objective of a hypocrite is that he wants to receive glory of men. Such a man can't go God in the secret chambers. And I'm trying to tell you today, whether or not you advance in your prayer enterprise, according to the teachings we are going to be unfolding, which are the direct words of Jesus, is dependent on you, your own model of life. Whether you prosper in prayer is about you. How many of you saw in the scripture that God accepted Abel before he accepted his offering? So whether you advance with God in giving either things or giving words or providing service, service that you are expecting him to adopt, to accept, it is not first the service. It is first the person that is offering the service. And you have been the hypocrite in the spirit. Do not think you can profit much from the enterprise of prayer. The question is, who is praying? Hypocrite. The file, there is a place for hypocritical files. Jesus has not finished. Jesus continued the discussion in verse 4 and 5. Can we do 4 and 5? 5. Okay, now we have done 4, so can we do 5? And when thou prayest, so in the eyes of Jesus, prayer is what? It's a when factor. But for many of us here, prayer is an if factor. So if I am not sleepy, I will wake up by 12. If I am not too hungry, if the fasting doesn't catch me, you know, there are conditions for which prayer will flow. You see, if I'm fasting and the fasting catch me, there will be no prayer engagement. It's dependent on so many factors, even the weather, the configuration of the shape of your wife, your face wife, is dependent on what Buhari does, dependent on what happened in Naso Rock. But according to Jesus, prayer is when. And then he says, be not as the hypocrites. So it is possible for you to be a hypocrite, just like it's possible to be a giving hypocrite. Now let us see what exactly are the indicators that reveal a prayer hypocrite. A lot of prayer. And in the, well, if I go there again, you will say I have a problem, personal problem. So we can't go there. They love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the street. I think you people in the north, you understand the corners of the street. You should understand that. That's where they pray, at the corners of the street. The ladder. They are not concerned about whether the thing they are generating is striking a chord in the immortal realm, but they like to pray in the corners of the street so that they can be seen, because the objective, the drive, the goal of the hypocrite is superficial, is to attract the attention of men so that they can get some form of reckoning. That they may be seen of men, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Do you know the meaning of this? You know, when you pray, you are praying to get answers to prayer. Is that not so? But Jesus goes a step further. Jesus reveals that our eyes will be on prayer reward, not prayer answers. According to Jesus, he said the hypocrites already have their reward. That means prayer is supposed to open you up to a reward, whereas we seek for answers. Jesus is looking for opportunities through our prayer to give us a reward for praying. I will explain that subsequently. So it is also possible for somebody to be a prayer hypocrite, just like it is possible for somebody to be a giving hypocrite. That's number two. Then number three is in verse 16 and 17. Can we do 16? Can we do 17 before I begin to teach? Moreover, when ye fast. So Jesus has unveiled the triangle of the believer. That is when ye give, when ye pray, and when ye fast. Now the first question I need to ask here, because it is possible to be for you to be a fasting hypocrite, a prayer hypocrite, and a giving hypocrite. In all these three fronts, hypocrisy is a possibility. And if you are a hypocrite in any of these aspects, it is because you have not yet known the God that sees in secret. Please help me ask your neighbor, are these three things a when in your life? Because if these three things are not a when in your life, you will have issues with demons. Yes. If prayer is not a when in your life, demons will play with your seasons. If giving is not a when in your life, you will spend all your life looking for what is not lost. If fasting is not a when in your life, it's like eating food without spices. There are several spiritual engagements. You need the spice of fasting in order for it to be effective. You know, Jesus said, this type goeth not. It doesn't matter any other thing you do. The master has said, this type requires fasting. You can jump. Do we have mountains in Kaduna? You can climb a mountain and you do something there. That's not what Jesus said you need. What he said is that this type requires fasting. There are engagements in your life that require fasting to prosecute. May you be found doing what God has prescribed. Yeah. You want to use your life as an experiment to learn many ways that it doesn't work. So there are these three when's: when you fast, when you pray, when you give. In my life, those things are when's. They are when's. So there are several prayer points that I've been relieved from. Because the three when's are in their proper places. You will be delivered from some prayer points if that triangle has a place in your life. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about giving because the church says there is a need. No, you give as a lifestyle. If you give as a lifestyle, you find out that God will not ask you to sow. Huh? He won't ask you to sow too frequently. No. He won't ask you to sow too frequently. But he's expecting you to mature, to begin to sow consciously. The Bible said a good man devised liberal things. That means he has already made provision for who to help. He has already made provision within the scope of his limited resources. There is such a provision that he has made to be liberal. Are you still with me? He has made provision for that. Recently, somebody sold 1.5 million into my life. I was excited. And I was preaching in Kano. So as we were worshiping God, now said, the 1.5 is not your whole. In the height of glory. That was what he whispered. Then I said, me and you have been on this path for many years. And I've learned from it. I've taught people from it. So where do you want me to spread it? He said, send 1 million to that sister that has a surgery and she cannot pay. Because she told me about the surgery, that it was 1.3 million. He said, send 1 million to her. Then the 500,000, he said, send it to this pastor. I was still in Washington. Meanwhile, I had made plans for the expenditure of that money. But in Washington, the great one came and prayed on me. He doesn't do that too frequently. No. I give up amount without a leading. Because for me, giving is a lifestyle. It's a when factor. It's a when matter. Are you with me? Yes. So I need to be led to give. But if I am led, I don't disobey. I don't need to be led to pray, but there are times that the Holy Spirit will do. If you have not been praying mechanically before, the day He leads you, you will disobey. Because it's not a when factor. That time it will come like, it is not that He will say, come and pray. You will feel it, it will come in 1 second, it will pass in your subconscious. It will just pass in 1 second. If you don't know the art of prayer, if you have not been praying regularly, you will not even know when He calls you, when He summons you to pray. And then you wake up the next morning, demons have overtaken you. And the day is terrible. They have ripped off a season out of your life just because you could not stand up and wait off sleep so that you can stand with God. God, are you with me? Now the Bible says with God there is mercy. With Him there is plenteous redemption. There are several deliverances that God has wrought in your life that He did not consult you because you were not required in the process. But there are some cases where you are required. He gives you a snap. Sometimes because of the context of the battle, He can only as much as give you a sign just once. If you have not made prayer a culture, even if you know, you will disobey. Because the weight, the heaviness, you will not have experience in defeating heavinesses yet. And so many of you have been yielding to heaviness for the past 25 years. And the day God wants you to stand up, Satan brings heaviness, and you have not had the experience of rebelling against it for unto victory. You are not likely to respond to that. It means you just gave away a season of your life to the devil. And we have good people in the church that bad things are happening to. And you pray. Unfortunately for me, when God said I should give out the 1.5 million, He didn't say, haven't given it, this thing will happen. It's only babes that look for that. We are, some of us have gone beyond that. Hallelujah. You know, some of us also try to become intellectual. So we fragmented our life into departments. We say financial life, your marital life. Then, which one again? Spiritual life. Your career life. We try to, we think the spiritual life is intellectual in nature. But Elisha had one aim, just one. Elijah to the farm and laid mantle upon him. The moment that happened, he lost his appetite for his agricultural business to the extent that he sacrificed all his tractors. His chain. You know, on the strength of that impression, people was mad because he was the one that heavily. You're not doing the business again. Leave the tractors. Let your junior brother continue. The level. Are you with me? You are not. One encounter you have with God has implications over the entire stretch of your existence. One encounter can shape 25 years in your life. What do you mean by your marital life? Then you are not a Christian. You are a psychologist. You are trying to manage. You are not trying to live. You know, many people came and say, what's the secret of marital bliss? I say, be a Christian. Are you a Christian? We're trying to make things that are organic, things that are living, things that are life. We're trying to make it cerebral. How does that work? Have you not read Tim Lahaye's book on relationship and the multiplicity of temperament and the temperaments that can blend? The teachers that taught those things, that picked their lesson notes from those things, their relationship bounced. Meanwhile, they follow the prescription. Those things are life. You need to be living in another realm. That will become your story. The natural story that will break out of your existence on the strength of the fact that you are living your life to God. I'm not trying to say that spirituality is a friend of mental slothfulness. I'm just saying that spirituality is not intelligence. We need to have a life before God. He said, moreover, when you fast, do not be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance.
for the difficulty of faces that may, they may appear to men, unto men to fast. Say, verily I say unto you, you have your reward. But when you fast, Jesus says, he said, anoint yourself. In all three instances, Jesus began to recommend a posture for Christians that intend to begin to do business with the Heavenly Father. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? The posture Jesus recommends three times for the God that sees in secret is what we call the posture of the hidden life. It is something you will need to work on deliberately. Because on the subject of prayer, the greatest factor is who is praying. If Moses comes and begins to pray, the elements will obey him. The rivers will obey him. But that is not for every person. Jesus recommends the hidden life. That a man that has not deliberately conformed to the model of the hidden life cannot impress a God that sees in secret. For giving, there was a hidden life. For prayer, hidden life. For fasting, hidden life. Hidden life is the kind of life that exists among roots. You know, when a plant is taking root, it doesn't go to CNN to announce that I'm taking root. Root taking is rigorous, but yes, silent. And the people that walk on the surface of the ground will not know how much mileage has been gained in root taking. Most times. The Chinese bamboo, it can take root for 5 years. The leaf that sprouted out from that pole can be 6 inches for 5 years. Meanwhile, the pole is driving into the ground and it keeps driving. The pole begins to sense all the numerous changes that happen to the soil, water during different kinds of seasons. And it keeps driving. It keeps driving until it touches the water table. That means its own growth thereafter is not according to season. It can grow in Hamatan. It is from the pole of the Chinese bamboo that the technology of borehole was discovered. The question is, how deep are you? Well, we know in the day of battle. Because your strength is equivalent to your depth. Have you heard the scripture that said, he that falleth in the day of adversity, don't counsel him. His status, his stature has been revealed by the battle. Some battles are revelatory. They just bring to the surface what you really are. Because in the eyes of men, because you have gained expertise in hypocrisy, there is a measurement that you sustain in the eyes of men. It is actually not valid before God. But people are confused because men look on the outward and God looks on the heart. And so if God wants to help you sometime, he allows a storm come that will unveil you and reveal your state of strength. And so the Bible says, he that falleth in the day of adversity, it is because what? His strength is small. Have you read the story of the buildings? One guy on Sarawan building. He counseled them when they were doing the building. And it seems to me that they had the same design. The Bible did not say if the wind will come. The Bible said, and when that storm was revelatory, it came to reveal the strength of his foundation. Many people are bothered about the superstructure of their Christian lives and they are not bothered about that which is hidden. They don't bother about taking root. Meanwhile, doing business with God that sees his secret. The life of a shoe is in his soul. The life of a tree is in its root, and the life building is in its foundation. Have you read the scripture that says that foundation is strong? Not a superstructure. The superstructure is standing. But something wrong with the foundation. Even your favor as a righteous man will count for. So the average believer doesn't take time to take root. And so when he's trying, there's nothing. Because all of his life was lived on stage. When he comes for praise and worship, there's a garment to match with. And that's great. But you did it as a hypocrite. There is nothing that you are coming to the stage to unveil. You have no secret behind the corner. Jesus recommends a life of depth in the secret place. And any platform in the natural will become an occasion for it to become open. Your handshake can be a mystery. It's an excuse for God to showcase his strength, because he is such a God that is used to manifesting things that are taking up residence before him in the secret. He manifests them in the open. That's if you have a hidden life. 11 years ago, I went to Papa and I told him, I sense that God is leading me to Benue State. But I came to tell you. You know what it, you know what he said? Benue? Hey! Then he brought a list. He told me he was sent to Benue. We didn't hear from him again. This one was sent to Benue. He had marital issues. And the light went out. One was sent to Benue. He went on voicemail. This was sent to Benue. He died and his children died. So he now told me, don't go and make noise, my son. I took that to be the word of God from God. When I went there, we did not print poster. You are aware of that. No poster was printed. For how many years? For 10 years? No. No signboard. We are yet to hoist a sign. 11 years later. Hallelujah. Because the prophet said what? Don't go and make noise. So when I got there, I was aware the place was bad land from the first day. And there was nothing I could, my ability to bring publicity, that I'm back to town. Glory! I knew that could not change the task. I had to rent a house. You know that my first house? The eye behind that rent was a prayer. The rooms were small. It was only the room that was. And that was what I wanted. A place where I could pray. Because the people that taught us how to pray were praying and standing. So we learned how to pray standing. Just in case you kneel. Sorry, I didn't attend your school. I will not have need to kneel. Maybe it looks more pious and sanctimonious and sacramental. Eh? God looks on the heart. You think that somebody is more righteous if the person calls it? If it doesn't work for you, stand up. Yes. Because we are you hypocrites. We are not doing what we are doing to strike a chord among the immortals. When I began to pray, the scripture that came was in the book of Isaiah, and the remnant that are escaped out of that, they shall yet take root downward and bear fruit upward. And God told me, this is the era of your life to think. Let nobody know what you are doing. I used to study the Bible all night to get the details, the things that people rush and they don't see. I can stay on one verse for 3 hours. I did that for years. If I don't pray properly, I cannot start studying the Bible because I won't see anything. I won't pray. When my heart becomes heavy, it means the anointing has come down from the head. It has come here. This is where my eyes shine on the scriptures. I did that for 8 years. Yes. We did night vigil every night because Papa said, don't go and make noise. 3 years later. One of the last thief men that was in the Civil War, one of the last of them, 90 years when I met him, he told me that he had an inheritance from his father and he wants to sell it, a land. That's the land that, because I say a land cannot be in this place and it will not be bought. So I had to send somebody to Lands and Survey to check that location. And truly, he had no papers. It was from the place of prayer that me and that man met supernaturally. And after he sold the land to me, he died. In that cave, when God wants me to come out, I will come out and meet who I need to meet and go back. Most often, after meeting those people, they die. Then a time came when I loved being inside more than outside. It's an emotion. The cultures have started affecting your emotion. If you have not reached there, you are not strong, I assure you. If I'm talking to you and it's getting to 5 o'clock, I don't need a watch. Because he will begin to call me from his side. He will begin to call me. And I begin to migrate back to that place. I can pray for hours without a prayer point that I know cognitively. Sometimes he just wants me to wave. And you never get to know what you prayed about for 2 hours, for 3 hours. That's when you will discover that when the court session in heaven is accomplished, God will release you and say, go. Do you know what it means to be released from prayer? When the unction lifts, it means you are released. And sometimes to get that release, you need to go for 5 hours. So you will not know that in hidden life, God does not have respect for time. So if it's not convenient for you to begin that adventure in the morning because of your job, go to work and come back. Because if you begin to give him that time, he will take it in the future. When that time comes, he will call you. And if you begin to disobey that call, he will call you for 6 months. If you refuse to answer, he will go back into his share. It will be more difficult for you to find him subsequently when you repent. Only people that know the secret place know what I'm talking about. David was talking about a place in God. A place that was so available, but yet to the brethren, it was still secret. Not because God didn't want everyone to dwell there. It was because the orientation of the average believer was not that of a secret orientation, but hypocrisy. They like the streets. They like the synagogue. But they don't like the place where the eyes of him that sees in secret can behold. I lost that place once. I got too carried away with pulpit ministry. And I began to break the covenant. Then when I repented and I went back to look for the one I used to see in the cool of the day, he was not there again. He had migrated from the previous location. So I was not looking. Have you read the book of Songs of Solomon before? May you not lose the love of your soul. Many of you don't even know what I'm talking about. And to pray and heal Nigeria. The prayer needs to change you first. Before it will go beyond you. He had changed his location. And I looked for him. He was seeing me. But he wanted to be sure that it was him I wanted. I looked for him for 9 months. And those 9 months, I knew that the safe distance that I had from myself and the kingdom of darkness had been compromised. That safe distance. Because I could not touch. I could not touch. All kinds of things happened to me. Near-death experiences, accidents. Because I left. When people comment about the accident, I don't talk because I know I'm the one that created the opening. I know what happened when we went under that glory to several places that it was forbidden to preach the gospel. and the hand of God came down. And then when you move in that glory like that, and then you now dislocate yourself from his source, you know that in the day of adversity, there will be a new value for your strength. For 9 months, I was in the wilderness. Suddenly, food no longer had meaning because I was looking for my strength. You know, David said a lot of things there in the scripture. He said, put on your strength. If you had not been in the secret place, you would not know the meaning of the enchantments of David. For 9 months, I sought him. Then after 9 months, he came out. Then I knew that this was not a lesson to learn again. I came to tell you that there is a man in the secret place. A man in the secret place that is willing to unveil his form and his shape. You will never meet him in the periphery. The average believer doesn't want to go into this spiritual adventure in search of your beloved. That is why you will always be a victim to the devil. And when I found him, he took me to a place that I did not know existed. In my first sojourning, he took me to another place. And the more you travel in that realm, in places in Christ Jesus, places in the reality of God. Because as astronauts explore space, that was how we were called to explore God. How many places have you been in the spirit? Have you seen your city from the spirit realm? You can't take a perimeter that you have not seen. It's not putting up a signboard and starting gathering people that heals the land. You can do that to old age and you will know you wasted your time. Isaac was in transit. He had escaped from home. And he was moving out. And he thought that he was the one that chose where to sleep. He didn't know that where to sleep chose him. Because his grandfather had opened a website in that place. And dedicated all his descendants. And on the strength of the contract that he manipulated to enter, the implication of what he did was that he was bound to collide with the God of his ancestors. Now he was leaving home. For the first time, he was vulnerable. He had lived under the care, the tender care of his mother. Should I tell you, a day will come when your covering will be taken away. A day will come when your confidence will fall. He never knew that anything will come up that will separate him from his mother. And he ran from home and came to a place. God was waiting for him to become vulnerable, for him to need help, for him to acknowledge his insufficiency. And he orchestrated skillfully circumstances that will unveil those dimensions of possibility. As he slept, this barren land that he saw, that was a place of a few stones and dry desert, his spiritual eyes were open. And he saw the same location from the spiritual. He never knew that one of the stones they used for pillow was one of the stones that his grandfather used to build an altar. So the network of the altar was strong on the stones. Please help me tell your neighbor, spiritual things are not lost. Have you had a dream before and you woke up and the dream lived? If you know the spirit realm, you know it's in a place. And the reason why I left you is because God wants you to seek. Many of you just woke up, dusted your body, and continued life. When will you go deeper? The average speaker in Nigeria operates the model of the hypocrite. And yet, we want to have power to bring down Goliath. And in the book of Psalm 74, we see a lamentation on the people of God. We is not our signs. I think that Psalms 74:9, if I'm not mistaken. That's the state of Nigeria. The nakedness of the church of God is on display. A time like this, there are many more reasons to be afraid than to be in faith. And like the prophet said, we see not our sons. There seem to be no more any prophet. Thirdly, there seem to be no ancient that knoweth how long. This is the kind of thing that befalls a people and a civilization when there is no depth in God. And the average believer has found a way to survive without debt. The description of Jesus that is so to this generation is the generation of hypocrites. Most of the things we do, there is no depth in it. We are for sure. But you see, the men that found favor with God in the time of old were men that knew how to journey into the wilderness. If you know that your God sees in secret, you will look for a secret place. Remember the roots that fell on the rock. The seed that fell on the rock. You know they sprang forth quickly. But the problem was that they had no root in themselves. And so when the sun rose and scorched them, they dried up. The sun has come to scorch the church in Nigeria. And the drought we see is not because the leaves are not compatible with light to produce, to sustain the reaction of photosynthesis. What is wrong? It's root based. I came to tell you a story of a personality that you will not find on the streets. In fact, he's wondering how you have survived without him. And so he brought a parable to the streets, and he's trying to use circumstances and situations to minister to the simple ones, men without understanding. He said, how have you survived without me? Because it's obvious we have a circulatory system of a kind of life that can keep running without any place that is secret. And so there's nothing for the one that sees in secret to see. My time is almost up. But I need to tell you a story. It was David that told that story. He that dwelleth. He didn't say he that dwelleth in Malali. The topography of the secret place is different from that natural place where you dwell. Can we peep into that quickly and think of the hidden life? When your roots strike the water table, you will no longer operate by seasons. When there is so much darkness, you still be burning. There's so much hunger. The weather changes and the Harmattan is intense. Because your root has found a source. Give me volume there. I want to show you two things about the secret place briefly. We would have done. Oh my. See, it's as if the father has been imprisoned in a place with stocks and bars, and he's putting his eyes through the bars and he's calling from where he is. It's as if there is a barricade that has blocked him such that he cannot come into where the light is. There is only one possible line of action. Just in case there's an encounter, it's because you turn back and decide to seek him where he is localized, in his own domain, on his own frequency. The challenge we have in this conference is how many people will decide to seek him on his own terms. You know, someone can go to God, and the purpose for his going to God is I want a husband. That's a legitimate reason for coming. I'm not trying to undermine that. It's a legitimate reason. Have you ever gone there with your prayer points before? And then when you begin to gain ascendancy, there is a place in this. I need to show you that place. I'm trying to minimize because of time. All right. Can we do two scriptures? Two scriptures. Maybe we'll do Matthew 18. How? No time. Matthew 18:18. 18:18. Are you with me? So let's go the journey. If your time to close, maybe your time to close is 8 o'clock. Please, you have liberty. Just take your bag quietly. We are already at the end time, so God needs to do something quick with us. So just take your bag and be praying and go, if that's enough for you. Now, there is a place here. There is a place. I hope you will see it. First of all, Jesus unveils two possibilities that we have in the Spirit, and then goes on to reveal the principle that makes those two possibilities available to us. He spoke like an engineer here. First possibility. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. All right, we don't have time. Let me just take you where I'm going. Hey! Whatsoever ye shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the first possibility. Second possibility is verse 19. Again, this is in addition to what I said before. I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Is another possibility. And I don't have time to talk about these two possibilities in detail. But the reason why I came here is because of verse 20. In verse 20, Jesus now reveals the principle that makes the two possibilities available. For where? Huh? For where what? Where two or three are gathered in my name. Huh? What happens? There I am. In the midst of. So I'm going to talk about that principle that makes the two possibilities available. Then I'm going to show you there's a secret place there. You know, those of us that have studied the Old Testament, you know what, when we say two or three, what does that mean? Witness. That's very obvious. That's the number of witness. This scripture actually reveals the legislative capacity of the church, the strength, the capacity of the church to legislate, to set up laws, and to disagree with laws. You know, in your state here, somebody rose up the other time and wanted to regulate the way we operate. Huh? And then several people now say, no, we disallow this law, and it could not stand. You see? So that's the ability of the church to legislate. You know, God was speaking to Jeremiah and he said, see, this day I've set thee above kingdoms, above nations. That means the authority and the courtroom, the legislative base, the constitution that God is calling Jeremiah to operate with was superior to any form of authority that we had among the nations of the world. So nations can go into their red chamber, their senate chamber, and come up with a bill. And you can go into your own chamber and disallow it, so that bill cannot take root in the land. Alright, so we so two or three. So that's quorum. And in every legislative business that you do, there is quorum. In order for legislative business to take place in the Senate chamber, out of 109 senators, am I correct? We need to take majority in order for legislative business to take place. And just in case there's no two-third majority, one is gossip, it's not legislation. Are you with me? And so that's what Jesus is trying to unveil, that there is quorum, and the quorum requirement must be met. Alright? The fundamental unit quorum is two. And that unit quorum has authority at the family level. Two members of the same family. That's why you and your wife, you form that unit. You change and legislate in that family. And bring to naught laws that seem to sustain, that is inconsistent with the perspective of God. Are you with me? But when we go higher and we go more territorial, the requirement of quorum changes. Like when we come and talk about Kaduna State, the quorum becomes wide. And the quorum must be present before God and the court of heaven can take us seriously. Territory. So you might be praying and you may not be seeing results the way you expect to see results, is because we have a quorum deficiency. Alright? I don't want to go into how that. Are you still with me? There's a particular campus like that. There was this VC was doing all kinds of stuff. And then I thought about quorum. And then the believers gathered, marched around the school, and gave a decree. That decree they gave came to pass in 7 days. They didn't prophesy this decree, because the quorum. We need a united church to do many things that we desire. However, hallelujah. The Bible says that this gathering must be in a location in the spirit. Just like legislative business must be done in the red chamber. If senators gather under a palm wine, in a palm wine joint, and even if they are talking about very cogent national issues, it doesn't go on record because they are not located properly. Surprisingly, the location for our legislative business, as prescribed by this working principle, is a location called the name of Jesus. Because we are supposed to be gathered where? I know you know the name of Jesus as the basis of our authority. I know that you understand the principle of the delegation of authority that is captured in Him giving us His name to use on His behalf. I know you know the name of Jesus as the basis by which we are saved. But the Bible says that there is no other name given on earth and in heaven. We must be saved. I know that. But you see, our eyes must be open also to see the name of Jesus as a location in the spirit. Because the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run it therein and find safety. And so that's your list, your prayer list that you carry. Right? So it's legitimate, okay? The lady says she wants husband. And then you begin to migrate in the spirit with your request. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Migration. Oh, you don't know migration. Now, when you begin to speak in tongues, what happens to you is that you begin to travel. It's a vehicle through which you travel. Because the things you seek are in several locations in the spirit. So you need to travel. Like a worship song is supposed to be a means of transportation. To take you to the place where the song was fetched from. If it was fetched from the head, the song will take and make us more conscious of us. It's a means of transportation. Because before you can do spiritual business, you must go to a place where your weaknesses are exchanged for spiritual strength. That place is called the throne of grace. There is a king in that corridor. He's the one that you must appease so that he will show you mercy. Because if he doesn't show you mercy, you will not find grace. Just like Samson found the jawbone of an ass, you will not find what you need for your time. He needs to show you mercy before you find. So you must have skills in appeasing him so that you can secure his mercy. Then you find. And that transaction takes place around the throne. There is a place called the name of Jesus that is a strong tower in the spirit. If you carry that your prayer point, husband, and you get there, you will know you have arrived there. And I will need to give you evidences that you have reached there. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, the Bible told us about that place. Because in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 1, where are you? It says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies. Don't have time to go there. Next verse. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Next verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, is the consequence of all his seven sacrifices. There are seven scopes of authority granted unto him because of the seven levels of sacrifices that he entered into. You must have gone to the book of Revelation and you must have seen that the Lamb has seven horns. Those seven scopes of authority came as a result of seven levels of sacrifice that he engaged to satisfy the claims of divine justice. And the Bible says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So the exaltation exalted him. So in the heavens, there were two titles he was given, according to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 36. When he ascended into heaven, he was given the throne of lordship and the throne and the office of the Christ. And in the highest heaven, there's no other honor that is higher than that. It's just like being a grand commander of the Federal Republic. There's no honor that will give you much more than the grand commander of the Federal Republic. Alright. Hallelujah. And he exalted him. In fact, the place where the throne is higher than the heavens is the pinnacle of heaven, the highest height in the heavens. And the reason is because God has approved that he should fill all things. Everything in the universe of God must reflect him, manifest him, must show forth his glory. And that's why it is his seed that comes into us upon our recreation, regeneration. His seed comes into us. And that seed begins to grow. But his seed gives us a destination, becomes the journey we go through in order to achieve Christ-likeness. Because God's intent is that he will be manifested to us. In fact, because of God in time, to bring everything under his authority. That's why God is still working through time. He possesses our redemption so that we can be in order or priesthood that he has pioneered, that he has authored. Alright? His throne is the source of all grace. Sacrifice, his content was that he was full of grace and truth. And without grace, you cannot serve God acceptably, such that God in the heavens will be pleased. All of these things were designed so that he will become our focal point, he will become our destiny, he will become our reference point. That every one of us will reflect him. It's in the charter of the eternal purpose that will be little Christ, manifesting his glory and his dimension. Everything is supposed to reflect it. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name. So that name is higher than your parents give you. The name with which you salute your chief in the village. Because, why? Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Don't forget that in our teaching, with the name of Jesus is a location in the spirit. And this scripture is saying that at that location called the name of Jesus, knees bow. Now, experientially, when you prayer list and you come to that location, your prayer list may not survive that location. Because that location has its own will, has its own intelligence, has its own intent. The only personalities that survive in that location are people that are willing to bow. So your prayer list may not survive the perspective of that location. There might be a prayer emphasis in that location that is not captured on your list. Your list has become totally immaterial, just in case you want to still stay in alignment, because you can be out of alignment in the location. Find out that your own priorities are different from his priorities. That's one of the humbling things that you will first notice when you begin to do business in that location. Because before you came, a Lord appeared there. And that Lord is the one that calls the shots, so your prayer list loses value. Just in case you want to continue praying with the unction he's supplying and to gain ascendancy thereby, you will need to avoid your own prayer list and then take his own list. Take his own yoke upon you. When you begin to do that regularly, you will come to a point where you become highly favored before him. And there are several things in the kingdom that you cannot achieve by anointing. You will achieve them by favor. Have you heard Daniel? He said, Daniel, thou art highly favored. Say anointed. You become highly favored. On the strength of that favor, you can lift your hands and say, God, let this thing happen. And we'll back it up. Because you are known where in the quarters where it matters. Yes. You know, demons identified Paul and said, we know him. Because he had appeared where it matters. Before demons identified him, the God of heaven saw his frame. He's in that place. And with the men that are willing to let go to align, because there is nothing there already. So knees bow. Tongues confess. Don't you need your tongue to prosecute prayer? Suddenly when your tongue is captured as an implement in that realm, the tongue begins to utter things that were not determined. You didn't determine it. You are just in that atmosphere. That is where God begins to use you for the purpose for which he created you, in that place. It's a secret place. Not because the doors are shut. It's a secret place because men have feared it. Not because them that enter die. Because humankind is not used to a situation where they are not in charge. And if you are going to do business with God, many, many times you are going to be disappointed. Because what you think is a very cogent prayer point, it might go there for 2 years, it is never mentioned. So I was never given an opportunity to pray for a wife. Never. I remember I was there one day, and then the great one opened the file and he now said, oh, for your information. That was not the subject of discussion. The subject of discussion was Benue State. On the 20th of October 2002, Jesus appeared to me and he began to tell me about Benue State. And he gave me five signs in heaven's calendar that must come to pass before revival breaks out in Benue. And the last sign, 5 of them came to pass, only one sign. The last sign was that the airport there will be open for commercial activity. That's the last sign. I watched and waited for that to happen. Until 3 weeks ago, FP said they are coming. Then I knew. Are you with me? I knew that the seasons he spoke about. It is because of that move that he sent me to Benue State that I should walk diligently. And then after giving me all of that information, and I said, meanwhile, for your information, I have prepared your wife. So that means I was not given the opportunity to pray for your wife. Maybe you fasted and prayed and dry fasted. Maybe that was the model. But I'm telling you, you know, our experiences cannot be the same. I'm not saying it's wrong, but you better go on dry. You better. The days are evil. You better go dry. My life, my experience is not the Bible. It's not a doctrine. It can only be an admonition. Say, for your information, what? I prepared your mind. So you will think he's not sensitive to the things that are bothering you. No. You see, you don't know timing. What brings forth your time is that God utters a decree. When he utters a decree, I've seen it in the spirit. High cherubs of glory are deployed. And they bind the demons that were in charge of the old season. Then new possibilities begin to come to pass. There are some demons that must be bound, displaced. New entities take over the space of your life. And then you come into new seasons in the natural. You say, oh, there's breakthrough. If only your eyes could open to see what happened overhead that allowed those things that have been trying to come to you for the past 12 years. They could not because they were hindered. It took a proclamation to activate some angelic beings to bind those demons to allow fresh seasons to break out. I have seen it before. I have seen the spirits, demons over cities, how they affect the culture and the lifestyle of people. And I have seen what intercession does. In that place, there is a personality that speaks. Doesn't speak because it's a talkative. He speaks because it's legislation. And when he speaks, he becomes law. He himself becomes subject to what he has said. So he doesn't use words the way we do. That is the voice that the Bible says, take heed that you do not resist him that speaks. Don't be on the bad side, the rebellious side to that voice. He said, take heed. But except you go into the secret place, you will never know that there is a voice that speaks. That same voice is the voice through which creation came into being. That voice is still speaking. And wise men know that that is the origin of all things. This is the new direction. Woe unto a man that rises up to declare without hearing the voice. Because nothing starts from earth. Everything starts from that place. The place has the signage of his name. The place is his name, the tower in the spirit. That's where spiritual transaction, that's where government issues from. When you find grace, after you have appeased the monarch and you find mercy in his face and he gives you grace, that's when you have the stature to mount, to climb that mountain. Oh my. It's the greatest privilege given to all humankind. If you have ever been summoned to that place, you will see several angels that have thrones. You must have read your Bible in the book of Isaiah chapter 12, verse 12 to 14. The prophetic story that Isaiah told about the fall of Lucifer. Why did he fall? He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Not every angel has a throne. But the throned angels are ranking angelic princes. They have a place on that mountain. I assure you, you have not seen things. There are some things you will see. Life will leave your vessel. The Ancient of Days will have to lay hands on you before you can float. And in a measure, it's not meant for mortals. It's a great honor to be on that mountain. You need to stay long enough in the secret pool. You are accepted there by favor, not anointing. Have you ever wondered why some voices expire on earth? Suddenly, a man that was a great voice, not as if he died, still full of earthly life, but is no longer admitted into the mountain. There are several entities on that mountain that don't have seats. They have to stand in the corridor and learn justice, learn judgment and equity. I don't have time to take you to the book of Zechariah. Because Joshua the high priest, they told him that you will have a place to stand, not to sit, among these ones that stand by. You will see some people, they are doing well, but they don't have a seat. They can't make any decision in that court. They can't contribute. There are people like Zechariah. Are you with me? People like Milkiah. You know, Milkiah was able to tell the story of what happened in the presence of God. He was a senator. He had a seat there. Yes, so if things are taking place in heaven, they must summon him to the mountain. So he was bringing news from heaven. News from the theater. Meanwhile, the other prophets that were prophesying for the king, they were down. It is when spirits come down that they can peek into their frequency and begin to talk. This one, he is in the visual environment of the reaction. God does not have favorites. But he has this. So had the opportunity to escape the state. So he gave them a mark. And his favor, he drew them to the mountain. You will see some very strong men of stature on the mountain. God wants to take a decision. He wants to judge. He will say, Pastor Monday, you have worked with me for long. What do you say? What judgment do you suggest? You know, Zechariah was given opportunity. You see? I'm talking about you think, oh, what was that? You thought I have escaped from playing with you. I had deliverances myself. Oh! I've had small experiences. When you see stakeholders, elders, are the ones that take decisions over cities. Like a committee. And then they call you to come and watch. You don't have a seat yet, so you have to do. Sometimes chairman or committee is Moses. And because he is operating under delegated authority, when he says this with and many times if you have been pledged to appear there and you hear the elders talk, that becomes one of the reasons for long life. Just like he was preaching on the mountain, Christ he kept him and was praying to die. You are asking for longevity and say 70. It's not by people think may the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. He had things. He came watch over those walls, a custody. And as long as those had not yet come to pass, he could not die. Ebola came, he didn't die. Boko Haram came. There are several people that are in custody of self. Even the weapon the devil is coming in is now. It's not enough to bring down because they were able to climb into the. The prayer we're going to pray tonight is simple. Because into the garden he was looking for his beloved. And he said, Adam, where are you? Now you might think that question means what you... The person asking the question, man, that is ignorant, is an immortal, that is omnipotent, omniscient. So the meaning of where art thou different from your own, you have to understand what you are saying. I think we need to find out what he meant. That's the question of tonight. And I am asking this question because of what I'm seeing in the spirit. Yes, Psalms 82. Let's find out the meaning of where are thou. Because men need to rise up again that will begin to discover paths that are secret. The Bible says a powerful knowledge. The vulture's eyes have not seen it. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, and the fierce lions have not passed by it. He putteth forth his hands upon the rock, and he overturned the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eyes seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the first form of our food, and the thing that is healed bringeth he forth to life. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? It's a very lengthy scripture, but I want to summarize. Why? How can we summarize this kind of scripture? Bible says God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. They are metaphors. Mighty. He judgeth among the gods. That's a metaphor. How do you define this? Okay, let's assume we are not going there. The only thing we can touch there, because there's a controversial word, there's gods with small g and certain part of Madioha. Shongo. No. It's talking about men. Men like you and me, that he has given his authority to take care of some of his business. Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 10, if he called them gods, unto whom the word of the Lord and the scriptures cannot be broken, unto whom the word of the Lord came, he called them gods, and the scriptures can be broken. So those gods are actually men. Oh, you have not seen the sweet thing about us. Okay, let's be, because you didn't see. How long will he judge unjustly? Because of the anointing he gave them. He was expecting them to be miniature gods, to operate the way God operates, so that through them people can understand his majesty. Meanwhile, they took his authority, took his grace, took his commissioning, and decided to administer his grace in a way that was inconsistent with the God. It was because of this that God decided to summon the gods. It's the gods that he called the mighty ones. In order to do what he wanted to do, the Bible that seen standing, never standing. Because stand on that mountain, he never stands. He doesn't need to stand to do anything. He rules his kingdom by decree. Speak, and the priest will go. Just like he spoke, heard it. And all life now, you're offering peril just to fulfill it. That's how he rules. But the Bible says in the book of Psalms 82 that this day God was caught standing. And I'm wondering, why will he stand? The only time, the limits of my own insight into this, I saw him stand twice, just in school. In heaven, he stood twice, the entire school. This is number one. And the reason why he was stuck, he wanted to touch the God. So it's only to make him. When they were stoning him to death, his eyes were saw into the spirit, and they said, what? Stand the God. It's been long since he's too. Just making. Let him arise, because he needs to arise in order for his enemies to stand. For him to judge, he must stand. Oh, let's make him stand. Accept the presence of the wicked. The poor are supposed to do with the afflicted and meek. Did not the poor and rid them out of the hand of the wicked? Then it was a tutorial. Gave us an example of the gods in prior time. He was talking about Adam and they know not. Neither will they understand. You see, lack of knowledge, they didn't know. So the gate of understanding was shut to them. What was left? They walked on in darkness with understanding. They made some mistakes because they did not understand. Mistakes that have grievous consequences. One of which was that the foundations of the earth were out. I need to explain that. Foundations. The word foundation there is the same word principle or manual. When you buy a television set, it comes with a manual. Even though we don't read manuals anymore. Comes with what? And the manual gives prescription as to how the device should be operated. So when God created also, He had a manual for every creature. And that manual was hid in a person. The person of the Holy Spirit, also the governor of this realm. But unfortunately for us, our parents decided to declare independence in the Garden of Eden. The act of rebellion in Eden was tantamount to man was created with that garment, the image of God created in the likeness. Not his creature is not man of man. The creature is man of God. The creature is never complete until the Holy Spirit is tabernacled in his vessel. It is through the Spirit that his infirmities can be helped, because he said with so many infirmities such that he cannot operate maximally without the help of the Holy Spirit. But when he declared independence, he was sentenced to a life without the Holy Ghost, a life of insufficiency. And unfortunately, as he rebelled against God, creation rebelled against him, because the Holy Ghost left with his manual. So nothing on earth again had a purpose. And all tools and sex that were in the physical creation had no meaning before God. That's why the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes say it is a vicious circle of vanity upon vanity, leading to higher degrees of vanity. Meaningless cycles and circles. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was withdrawn. Are you with me? And that's what begins when the Holy Ghost comes back. He comes with a manual. He comes with perception, so you can perceive what is obtainable, your model in heaven. You perceive it. And then you begin to receive grace to live it out, because he came back with it. You might find the conductor there. Sabo, open, you see, called to be a prophet. He can never be a prophet except he meets the Holy Ghost, because he doesn't have a manual. His existence is a short circle of vanity. Are you with me? Mosquito that was supposed to be involved in cross pollination, taking pollen dust from one flower to the other. When the manual was lost, it started picking blood. The foundations were out of course. Adam did not know that his own rebellion would lead to the dawn of Eden. That's what he not know. Only God knows how many people whose salvation are connected to your life. And when the gods that have been given authority, when lose their purpose, the people connected to them are out of course. You know, as powerful as God is, when Adam failed, how many thousands of years for him to redeem the situation? I talked about it. The God of the Bible, that is omnipotent, omniscient. You know why? It was not normal people that failed. There were gods. Only God knows what your own failure will cause. Only God knows what your own inaptitude will cause. Think about that. Most of you think you have a choice. You don't know. You don't have. There's only one script that has your name upon it. It's either you got it right or your life was a failed experiment, because you never met the governor sufficiently. When God wanted to drop the gods, and that's where we understood what "where art thou" means. The judgment of the gods is in the next verse. He said, "I have said." Are you with me? Can you go to the verse, please? Oh my God. Our media man is asleep. Oh, back on. Okay, it's back from. I have said, we are God. That is our ordination. All of us were supposed to be in God's administrative, taking care of His business. That's the purpose of your creation. You didn't come here to marry. That's not why you came here. Many people think it's a goal. May they give you understanding. When you begin to do what God has called you to do, He might discover that you need a helper. If you marry now, unto what will that damsel come? Unto what? What do you need help in? In the wandering, in the wilderness, you need somebody to complicate the life of somebody. That's what you need. There's no clear cut direction. He just wants to dash somebody into the rat race. He said, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That's our status by ordination, by creation. Miniature gods, through whom the divine one will find expression. We advertise the golden throne of heaven. That's why we're here. Our life is derived. We are not original. Yes. The kind is Jehovah Himself. We were created after Him. We were created to function like Him. We are derived entities. You cannot find Pope yourself by Him. He said, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High God. This is the judgment. He said, but ye shall die like men. Mortality became consequences of that rebellion. Most of you don't know that mortality is a curse. That we live and die. That was not the original plan. Mortality. He shall die like men. Then the second aspect is where I'm going. He shall fall like one of these. That means Adam was a prince. He had a throne in the spirit. It's from that throne that he had the authority to govern the earth. Just like Moses was the first king of Israel. He was king in Jeshurun. He had a spiritual throne, but he had no physical throne. But the authority that he manifested was the authority of the king. When he was about to die, he came and said, let Reuben live! That was not prophecy. That was the utterance of a king. He reversed the curse of Moses. The curse of Jacob. Because of his stature as a king. At least Jacob was not a king. He was a patriarch. But he was the first king. So he decided by a decree. He changed the path. And if you read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33, you will see the utterances of a true prophet decrees. They were missiles, spirit guided missiles. They are still in till today because it was a king that spoke it from an ecclesiastical throne. All of us were created to inherit thrones because God's kingdom is a kingdom of kings and kings. There are multiplicity, multiplicity of thrones, and each throne is supposed to be an expression of the ultimate throne. When Adam fell, why only the fall of man? Did he fall down like this? It was his throne that he fell from. His administrative capacity blanked out. And when he came into his Adam. That throne is what you ascend into. When through grace you begin to migrate in Christ to interact more time. That is the authority that we have in the place of prayer. A migration portfolio where you can actually go before the living stones of heaven, the ancient rocks of the maze of glory, and suck from their reality. But he no longer had that privilege. He had fallen from his throne. He has been condemned to a civilization that is earthly. And the great one came down and said, where are you? You know, the question tonight is not different from what God was asking. Because I see many people that some time ago you used to gain ascendancy in the spirit. For some of you, when you married, the throne expired. God is asking, where thou? For some others, you got a job. The job you fasted for, it came. And you no longer ascend. He says, what?
Where thou?
For some of you, it was admission. The 4 years you stayed at home without admission, you knew your priorities. Suddenly, you were absorbed into Samaru. Samaru. And you stopped ascending. That was how Lucifer used to ascend. The time came, heaven had to ask, where is Lucifer? Your reality is not what you do in Sabo television. What you do in Zenith Bank. Your reality is what you are
on Zion, the mountain.
And if you have not known on Zion, you will fall on the day of adversity because you don't have hidden life. The prayer tonight is not a prayer point. It's a prayer of dedication. And we are telling him that we return. We return. We return. For the scripture says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and shall come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting song shall be upon their heads. They shall proclaim gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Just because you return, you are exempted from some prayer points. Sorrow and mourning. Will you return? And the more Adam lingered, the more the path became more difficult for him to find. Until the path was blocked by a cherubim and a sword. Even though the sons of Seth started a prayer meeting outside of the garden, hoping that God will come out of the light one of those days, they waited too long. Because in their day, it was God that came to them. It was not them that went to God. It was a redemption that the path to go to God was revealed. And so he said, come boldly, come. That's the first time that invitation was ever given to humankind. But even though it has been given to us, we run away from it. May you return to it. As I had to return after thinking that, it's too strenuous, it's too strenuous, I became conscious of myself. That's the first voice of destruction, is the voice of self-preservation. When the great one wants to suck you in totally, and then you now remember that you are 40 years old, that you need to some things so that you live long. Ooh. I don't know what reason made you flee, but tonight is a day of returning from the dust, from the mud, from the swamp, from the woods, from the caves, from the prison house. We return. We return with singing unto Zion. We return with an everlasting song. We return with crying. We return with singing. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. What happened to the teaching ministry? Your ability to navigate through scripture. The scriptures became lively because you were speaking from the mountaintop. There was a gate that was open. And whenever you spoke, the gate starts opening. It starts opening overhead. Starts opening. Many angels are dispatched from that portal to minister in the earth just because a son is standing and is speaking. His utterance creates possibilities for God to penetrate the lives of men. Suddenly, he stops ascending. Jesus gave an entire parable, was dedicated to teach us that men were created to pray and not to faint. They are designed for priesthood. You become a fake if you leave the corridor.
want to pray a prayer of dedication. I don't know, you have become busy. That's why you no longer go to sign presence. You have found another way of existence. And you believe it's sufficient. Maybe because money is coming. You have never seen affliction. The kind of sickness that keeps gulping money and then money becomes nothing. We return. We return. We return. Do you still remember when God used to come in the cool of the day and whisper to you? And there was a fresh presence that is casted upon you. And when you wake up from the experience, you know that God loves you. The experience of love is not something you need a dictionary to tell you. You have experienced it because it's yours. Then you wander the way. Because you trivialize what God was offering. And now you are in the wilderness. Nothing is working. The relationship you ran away from God to get, you lost it. And nothing is adding up. Nothing is adding up. It's because the fragrance has left you. We return. That's our prayer tonight. Kaduna State. We return. You may choose a posture that is good for you so that you can be private in your engagement. So that you can be private in your ascendancy. But we say tonight that the state, the church of God in this state, in this land, we return. That you may grant that the gates of Zion may get open unto us. That we may sing chants among the angels. That our spirit may be made light. That the power of our mundane life may be brought away. We return. We return. That we may hear the whispers from eternity and the wisdom from the ancient of days. Thank you.
We are the beside you, Lord. I'm beside you, Lord. I'm beside you, Lord. None beside you, Lord. None beside you, Lord. No other God. Lord, we yield to your call of return. Lamb, we return from the place where we left. We return to that place where we left. We return, Lord. We respond to your voice tonight. Beside you, Lord, no other God but you. Lay our lives before your throne. They look like time on love in the time. Now we take your place anymore.
Information, visit our Facebook page, The Potter's Apostolic Ministries, or send us an email on pottersapostolicministries@gmail.com. You can also reach us via our admin number 080-5342-8270. We will give ourselves no rest until His kingdom comes on earth.